Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing so far this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Listen, I know I was already up here speaking, but I say it every single Sunday, and I can't not say it. If I haven't had the opportunity to officially introduce myself, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every single week. There's literally no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here, worshiping God and praising his name. And I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here doing exactly that. We get to see 20 people make the decision to get baptized today. And we already saw three of them get baptized at the first worship experience. So 17 of them are getting baptized here during the second worship experience. That is very exciting stuff. And they have already made the decision to outwardly show the fresh start that they have made in their life. And listen, if you're anything like me, I really enjoy fresh starts. I like them. I like being able to walk in them. I am somebody that I love cleaning stuff. I like detailing things. Like, I love detailing cars. I love cleaning things. People make fun of me because I'm always cleaning my phone. I'm always making sure things are clean. If your phone's near me and I see that it's dirty, I will clean it. It's not that I'm judging you. It's just I do those things. And people pick on me, but I'm just being a good steward of what God has blessed me with. That's my excuse for being OCD, okay? But listen, I want to school you on some things today, okay? The fresh start car freshener that's up there. We all like to put things in our car that smell good. The little Christmas tree, a lot of you have been misusing those for years, and you had no idea. You know you're only supposed to rip a little triangle in that and put it under your seat, and then when it stops smelling, you're supposed to rip a little bit more and pull a little bit more of the Christmas tree out and then put it back under your seat, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, but all of us, for the most part, we've been ripping that whole thing out, hanging it on our window and getting a headache for 3 days. And then 3 days later, it doesn't smell good. Am I right? Why? Because there's some things in our car we need to cover up. Right? Somebody, you cut lemons and throw it down your garbage disposal. Anybody else do that? During the first worship experience, I was the only person that did that. Nobody does that? Okay, thank you. You're supposed to really just like put some like hot water and Dawn dish soap or baking soda and vinegar. I get it, but lemon just smells so good. Okay, how about this perfume and cologne? Okay, I love cologne. There's actually a friend of mine that I graduated high school with. He was a couple years older than me. He has this cologne that he will not tell me what it is. He will not tell me. Because he knows that I want it, and he knows he's the only one that has it. We all like to smell good, or we like things that smell good. But the thing about those things is they're usually covering something up. They're usually covering things up. Now, I'm not saying if you wear perfume or cologne, you stink. But I'm saying that the fresh start that we're talking about today and the next few weeks is not to cover something up. It is to start fresh. And I've been praying about this, believing for this, and I've asked people, like, what do you think when you hear the term or the statement fresh start? And I've gotten all the answers under the sun. But what I've heard every day when I'm praying about it is simply that, every day. We get a fresh start every day with Jesus. Every day that our feet hit the ground, it's a fresh start. His mercies are new every morning. And I don't know where you're at with your walk. I don't know. This might be the first time you've ever walked into church. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. Maybe you've been hurt by people. Maybe you've been hurt by tradition and religion. And you need a fresh start. I'm praying that today's your day for that. And I'm praying that tomorrow is a new day that you walk in it. And then Tuesday's the same, and Wednesday's the same, and Thursday's the same, and Friday's the same. Because that is the God that we serve, a God of fresh starts. and you keep building them on top of each other, day after day after day after day. We're going to launch out of a scripture, out of the Message translation, and we don't preach out of the Message translation, but I really love the way that this is phrased out of 2 Corinthians. I love the way that it communicates because it really puts things into perspective. We looked at the Messiah that way once, and we got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with this Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. Whenever we start to walk with him, whenever we start to see him the way that we're supposed to see him, everything goes away. Our old life is gone. It's not something that we just put into the garage and get ready to dust off for a rainy day, or we don't throw it into the closet, or we don't just put it into the junk drawer. How many of you have a junk drawer? A lot more of you have a junk drawer. You were just afraid to raise your hand in church. Listen, I have two junk drawers in the kitchen. One complete junk drawer, which is not a junk drawer. It's my stuff in the dining room, which Rachel has allowed me to have. It's actually a catch-all for all of my stuff that she doesn't know where to put. And then that's it. I have three drawers in our house. That's all I'm allowed to have. Pray for me. One day I'll have more. Right, Rachel? I have a lot more than three drawers. I have four. Do you want the microphone? You can. Okay. It's all right. It's good. Listen, today, as we go through the message, I want you to remember two words throughout the entirety of today's message, because this is what we need to remember. Begin and become. Begin and become. A fresh start with God requires a beginning of a relationship with him. We need to begin a relationship with him. A fresh start with God requires that we become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Now, so many times in our walk, we begin a relationship and we don't become anything. We stop. It's like arrested development. We don't develop beyond that point where we met him at the cross. And we don't become anything else. We don't follow him anywhere. And we definitely don't become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Some of us, we become a follower, but not fully. We only devote certain areas of our life to him. Oh, I'll devote Sunday to him. Oh, I'll devote one of my evenings to him and go to a connection group. But I'm not devoting every area. My relationship with my spouse, or my relationship with my significant other, or my relationship with this woman or this guy is off limits. My finances are off limits. I'm not devoting that to him. This addiction, that's off limits. I'm not ready to give that to him. This thing that I do, or this thing that I do, or this hobby, or this, whatever it may be, you fill in the blank. I can't fill in yours. But we're called to be fully devoted. Every area of our life, opening the door for everything. And that's what I'm believing, that we want him in every single area. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15. Christ's love controls us. When I hear control, I hear that nothing else is at play. My old life doesn't control me. My own perspectives don't control me. My own thought processes don't control me. The world doesn't control me. Nothing else but Him controls me, and what I've experienced in Him, that's what dictates my actions. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, we live for Christ who died and was raised to life for them. Listen, this control is what holds us together. It's everything that keeps us moving. This control, His love, is what grips us tightly and protects us. This control is what constrains us and keeps us moving in a certain direction. You know, we drove to North Carolina. There were guardrails a majority of the way there. There were actually runaway truck things that were steeper than I've ever seen in my life. They were actually quite tempting. I looked at Phil a couple times, like, just send it, bro. Just send, we'll get out with little help. They were like, they look, the one, it looked like you were supposed to go up it. It looked really inviting. Same thing in our lives sometimes. There's some things of this world that look really intriguing, really inviting, but His love is what constrains us and protects us and guides us and keeps us on the right path. It leaves us no other choice but to live for Him. When we've experienced a living God and His church and His people, there's no other choice. Before we've experienced it, life is just a big multiple choice day. And a lot of us, we just selected all the above for years. That was a joke. You're allowed to, like, yeah, all the above. Yeah, give me all that. Everything. Was I the only one that did that? Like back in the day? Come on. Yeah. All the above, times two. We all have done that or been there at some point in our life. When we believe, we've decided to live that way. We're not forced to. It's a decision we've made in our heart because of what we've experienced. That's love. He's not forcing us to walk in that. If it is, and if He is, that's not love, that's abuse. I love Rachel with all my heart. She loves me. I don't say, Rachel, you better love me. That's abuse. God doesn't do that either. Verse 16 through 17. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has come. Listen, a fresh start means a fresh perspective. We see things differently now. Just like I shared in North Carolina, I needed a fresh perspective. Why was Jesse the homeowner? Why was he going bowling? Not because like that was the only thing he wanted to do at that moment. Sure, he would have loved to have been rebuilding his house and doing the things we were doing. But bowling was the place where he felt like he didn't need to think about the fact that he'd been living in his front yard for 7 months. Where he didn't need to think about the fact that he had lost everything. He could unplug from everything for a few hours. That was his safe place. I needed a new perspective on why he was going bowling It wasn't just because he wanted to go throw a ball around for a few hours. Our perspective on what we've thought about church, what we've thought about church people, and everything else, we need a fresh start on all of it. I got a fresh start many years ago. I will get to that more later, but I used to think church was just full of a whole bunch of hypocrites. They're one way on Sunday, they're a different way Monday through Saturday. It's not the case. It's not the case. That might be the case somewhere, but it's not the case here. It's not. I can tell you for a fact that Phil is the same person here on Sunday that he is Monday through Saturday. The exact same. There's a few little differences. Chuck's exactly the same. Few little differences. And I'm happy about those little differences. Okay? They don't brush their teeth here. You get what I'm saying? Like, but they do it at other times. I lived with them for a few days. There was the little differences, but they were exactly the same. Very open, honest, and transparent about everything in their lives. And I can say that about so many other people. Not hypocritical. Listen, we move from seeing things in a human point of view to seeing things in a spiritual one. And that's what's being talked about here. The old way that we saw things is gone. The new way is coming and is here for some of us. And that's what I'm believing for, that we don't just see things through our own human perspective, but the way God wants us to see them. Verses 18 through 19, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ and reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. To reconcile, to take everything back to zero. Make it right. Make the account balance correct. To reconcile it. Listen, you may be here today and your account with God in your mind might be a complete wreck. But Jesus wants to completely reconcile everything. He wants to take your account ledger and make sure it makes sense. If somebody came to you today and told you that, I don't know, let's pick a bank, PNC calls and says, hey, listen, everything's great. Your account, perfect. Wonderful. Listen, they don't make mistakes, okay? And they called you and said, listen, everything that you ever wanted and desired, it's perfect. It's great. You would celebrate from the rooftops. You'd be like, Pastor Nick, where's the roof? How do I get up there? I want to scream something. That's what God's doing through Jesus for you. Reconciling all the wrongs, all the account errors. You're like, I don't like PNC. Well, pick up your credit union that nice lady's been working with you for 20 years. You could have said amen to that one, Chuck. We used PNC during the first worship experience. He's like, no, not PNC. Listen, we're going to talk today about a man in the Bible that he got one of the greatest fresh starts that we can use as an example. It's a guy named Simon Peter. Just an ordinary, everyday guy. Blue collar, middle, lower class. He was an enthusiastic guy, strong-willed, impulsive in some ways, brash. But for all of his strengths, Peter had several failings in his life. And still the Lord chose him. And he continued to mold him into exactly who he intended Peter to be. It was a messy faith situation that we're about to embark on and see. There were some ups, there was downs, there was great successes, there was great failures. And listen, we can all place ourselves in this moment. But remember the two words I told you. Begin and become. That's how we have to walk through this story. So let's pick it up in Luke 5, verse 1. One day, Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God, and he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. For the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Listen, Jesus steps into Simon's boat, and kind of how Jesus steps into our lives. He didn't ask him for permission, which I always found interesting. Jesus didn't say, excuse me, would you mind, if it's not of any trouble, if I step into your boat, if I use it, if I jump in there? Jesus tells him what he's going to do, and then he tells him what to do. Jesus enters Peter's world and does what only Jesus can do. There was no permission asked. There was no, if it doesn't bother you, if this is a good time, if you're okay with it, if you're ready for me to get into your boat, if you've prepared. Nope. And I can only wonder how Peter felt when Jesus got into his boat. And I was reminded of a worship night that we had here at the White Oak campus. It was overflowing with people. We only had one worship night, obviously. We couldn't break it into numerous times. And we only have 286 seats in here. And we had all four campuses of Bridge City Church here in one night. It's overflowing. And the parking lot's overflowing. Plaza Azteca was open. And I'm running around trying to be a host. And I'm asking people for their car keys so I can move their car. And they're like, oh, no. I'll move it. You're good. Can't get into my car. I was like, okay. And there's other people like, yo, you can get into my car, but there's some stuff in there. I'm like, listen, I'm not searching your car. I'm just getting into your car, okay? Whatever's in there, that's between you and Jesus, and I'm not him. So, and there's other people that just threw me their keys and should have said, hey, just to warn you, there's some stuff in there. And they didn't say that. But Peter was thinking that. He was definitely thinking that. He had to have been. But Jesus didn't care, because he was not thinking about where Peter was currently at. He was thinking where he wanted to lead him. He was thinking where Jesus was going to lead him. Hey, I'm going to lead this guy somewhere. I'm not worried about where he's currently at. This fresh start, Jesus is getting up and close and personal with him. Just like each and every one of us. He's going to get into your life. Every area. Not just the ones you feel comfortable with. And you got to let him in. And he's not going to ask for permission. He's there. And the thing that you need to recognize is that he sees you, he cares about you, and he knows who you are already. You can't hide these things from him. He knows who you are. And none of these things that are happening in your life are happening by accident. You're here on purpose for today's message, for the things that are being communicated. This fresh start is for you. Luke 5, verses 4 through 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Master Simon, he replied, "We worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." Instantly, Jesus calls Peter to faith. He met him, Jesus gets in his boat, and now Jesus is calling Peter to start to walk in faith. Listen, I know what you were doing wasn't working, but now I'm calling you to walk a little bit differently. I'm calling you not to just walk by sight, but to walk by faith and to listen to me. Jesus immediately uses Peter. Immediately. He doesn't wait until he cleans out his boat with the stuff that shouldn't have been in the boat under the seat. He doesn't wait until they completely grow in their relationship. He immediately starts growing their relationship. He doesn't wait until Peter feels like he's ready. He immediately calls him to start walking in the relationship and walk in faith in that relationship. He doesn't make him change his behavior first. He doesn't make him get a haircut first. He doesn't make him start dressing differently first. He doesn't make him get a shower first, because he definitely stunk. He's a fisherman. He stunk. And we know this because they were already fishing. He was stinky. He didn't make him stop cussing first to start walking in faith. He was definitely swearing. The fishermen's sites were just like every other construction site you've ever been on. I guarantee it. He didn't make him take a class. He didn't make him make sure that he knew everything and every proper word. He stepped into his life and told him to start walking in the relationship that they were starting. Simple obedience was what he was calling him to. Do this. It didn't work before. Well, it's going to work now if you listen. Listen, I know that there are people here today that you might feel like a failure. It didn't work before. My marriage didn't work before. My parenting hasn't worked before. My finances have never worked before. This hasn't worked before. Breaking that addiction never worked before. Getting free from this never worked before. Fill in the blank. Just start walking in simple obedience and trust. Maybe it'll work this time in Jesus' name. Get a fresh start. Stop feeling like a failure in all of those areas. Jesus is not controlled by what happened before. He's not controlled by all of that. He wants to help you in your everyday, ordinary life, and he wants you to walk in faith so he could do so. Peter's learning this in this moment, that this life that he's walking in is a life of faith, and growth is beginning to happen. He's moving beyond just being around Jesus to starting to obey him. Here we go. verses 5-7. And this time their nets were full of fish. Huh. It's amazing what happens when you just listen to Jesus a little bit. No fish, obey him, full of fish. It's interesting that Jesus uses their life and what they were going through to catch them, not the fish, the people. Jesus will meet you wherever you're at and use whatever is going on in your life to catch you. Listen, Jesus didn't use fishing nets for me. I was landscaping at the time that I met Jesus. You're like, what? He caught you with mulch? No. No. He actually, he used Rachel as a net. He caught me with Rachel. And it worked. He brought Rachel into my life when I was landscaping. What, did you mulch Rachel's house? No. Rachel was not a customer. Her parents were not a customer. I was friends with her brother, her oldest brother. Now I'm friends with all of her brothers. But it worked. And this time their nets were full, and they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners into the other boat. And soon both boats were full with fish and on the verge of sinking. Peter's relationship with Jesus and obedience to Jesus now brought others into his walk. Listen, you're not called to walk with Jesus alone. You need some partners in your life. People that are going to walk with you, people that are going to serve with you, people that are going to share in celebrations with you, share in times of struggle with you, share in all of it with you. Share in your stink. That was a stinky moment. There's lots of fish. They don't smell good. Listen, we need partners. You need people in your life, and your obedience with Jesus should draw other people to walk with you as you walk with him. Pete obeyed, and it was so good. It was such a big moment that they couldn't contain it. And God wants us to share that moment with others in our lives. There are people today getting baptized. They're sharing that with you now. They want to outwardly show what God's done in their lives so that you can see it now. And you're like, I can't believe they're getting baptized. Yeah, they are, and now you know. You could tell everybody about it and hold them accountable in it as well. Verses 8-9, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For as he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. Listen, when we experience a living God and we start to walk with him and we start to experience all that he has for us and he starts to pour out blessings in our life, there is nothing more than for us to truly have a confession of sin and a repentant heart in every area of our life. Jesus draws that out of us. In the beginning, we think we need to hide it from him. But when we truly meet him and walk with him and experience him and obey him, that stuff just comes out. That repentant heart is opened up and we just pour it all out to him. And then we think we're not even, we shouldn't even be in his presence. And Jesus does everything, and the only thing that Jesus can do, he takes his past and he fully exchanges it for his future. I don't want to do anything with your past but help you move away from it. Your past doesn't define you, but God will use it as a launching pad into your future. Listen, every one of us has a past. And I love when mine comes up. I love it. There's people that are still coming to church that find out that I'm the pastor. Like, he's the pastor? I got to see this. Pizzuto, you know some of those people that come. You were one of them. Like, wait a second, Nick Stepanovic's a pastor now? Yeah. There's people that have come to church that heard stories about me that weren't even true. I'm like, let them talk. It's great. I love when my past crashes with my present and leads people into their future. It's my favorite thing in the world. And this is what's happening with Peter. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. They began and they were becoming. And they were not just fishermen now. They were fishers of men. Their lives changed. Everything changed because they met Jesus, they obeyed Jesus, and now they were following him. Everything changed. Listen, everything changed the day that I decided to not just come to church because of a girl. First week was because of a girl. Second week was because of a girl. Third week was because I met Jesus in a real way. And I decided to cross the bridge to life. That's what we call it here at Bridge City Church. You may think, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought we were a Bridge City Church because we were in Pittsburgh. Nope. Not at all, actually. I'm going to read Matthew 11, but before I do, I'll explain to you the story of how we became Bridge City Church. And before I do that, if you're being baptized today, you can go ahead and be dismissed to go get ready for baptisms. And I know that as we do this, everybody's going to watch like you've never seen people stand up and walk before. It's a miracle. They can walk. If you're being baptized today, you can go get ready. And everybody, take your time, be walking. Now, and I'm also going to do this. In just a few moments, I'm going to say if you have children, we're going to get the kids checked out so they can come down. Okay, in just a few moments. This is how Bridge City Church became Bridge City Church. Our belief is that we're called to connect people to God, connect people to others, connect people. Here we go. Bridges connect people, right? Right? Yes. We're supposed to connect to God, connect others to God. Bridges connect things. So when we were thinking about changing the name of the church from Bridge Word and Worship Church, we were like, well, we're in the city of Bridges. We've always believed that we're called to connect people to God and connect others to God. Maybe we're being told something here. We've always believed that we want to see people cross the bridge to life. Maybe we're being told something here. So that's how Bridge City kind of originated. That's how it happened. It has nothing to do with us being in Pittsburgh. That was just a fringe benefit of that. So I'm believing for some people today to make that decision to cross the bridge to life. Because we're all separated from God. We're separated by sin. And I have some questions for you today. And the questions come straight out of Matthew 11. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? These are red letters. These are Jesus's words. He says, come to me. If you answer yes to those questions, he says, come to me. Now, the people that are getting ready to be baptized, the people that are preparing to do that, they at one point answered yes to those questions. And they made the decision to start following him. And now they're outwardly showing that he's the leader of their lives. So if you're in here today and you know that you're tired, you know that you're worn out, you know that you're burnt out on religion, and you haven't made that decision to turn to him so that you can get away with him and recover your life, the true life that you've lost. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to walk with him and work with him and live your life with him, your normal, everyday, ordinary life. He wants you to watch how he does it. He gives you a book to follow. He gives you others to live your life with. Watch how I do this. Watch how I've done it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Fresh start every single morning. His grace and mercy is new, and it's an unforced rhythm that you're supposed to live your life by. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This is an invitation to a fresh start. This is an invitation to a new beginning. This is an invitation to the rest of your life. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received that fresh start, where you've began and you've started a day where you're going to become, let today be your day, let this place be your place, and let 12:02 noon p.m. be your time. And I'm going to ask you to do the bravest thing you've ever done, but the best thing you'll ever do, and that is reach your hand up to God and say, I need you to get in my boat. God, I need you. So if I'm speaking to you right now and you've never had that day, that time, that place, just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need you to get in my boat. Anyone at all today? We saw four people at our first worship experience receive Jesus, and I'm believing for more at the second. It's not about the person in front of you, behind you, or beside you. Don't allow fear to hold on to you.